Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Ephesians 3 verse 20. That is the scripture for the season. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Next verse. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Go back to verse 20. I want you to take note of the scripture, because the Lord is speaking to you in this season. Eh? If you've applied for a job and failed to get it, if you're a guy and you've made a move and things haven't worked out, if you've put together a business proposal and you presented it and it didn't work out, if you expected money and it didn't come in the time it had to, if you're about to get married and it looks like money is not coming, or things are not organized the way they're supposed to, if you're living in a world of doubt, by the way, doubt is very different from unbelief. Doubt is not a sin. Unbelief, okay, we shall teach on that some other time. Eh? But anyway, if you're living in doubt, this is what scripture says. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. When I was growing in my relationship with God, and as I still am, I found that the Spirit of the Lord has what we call leadings or promptings. God has strange and mysterious ways in which he communicates. Now, you must pay very close attention to me. He has very strange and mysterious ways in which he gets a message across to us. Most of us, unfortunately, we lack an ability to be able to read the mysterious and strange ways in which God communicates to us. So we end up in limbo. So sometimes what seems like is a failure to you on a logical plane, in the spirit, it is a setup. But because you are unable to perceive the communication, you worry. Praise the Lord. And so often we judge things based on the physical. I often tell people that if you're praying, when you pray, if you spend time in prayer, let's say Jesus says, will you not tarry with me but for an hour? So the minimum expectant is, look at them. So the minimum expectant is an hour. He says, will you not tarry with me but for an hour? And let's say you stretch and you go an hour in prayer. What you don't know in the spirit is actually you're moving. Even though in the physical, nothing seems to be the same. Your situation seems to be the same. The circumstance seems to be the same. The people around you haven't changed. But in the spirit, there's been a shift. And this is why it is important for you to try to pray. Huh? Try. Push in. Eh? Praise the Lord. Anyway, so the Spirit of the Lord uses leadings and promptings, often nudgings, to try to get a certain communication to us. And often they're in weird ways, strange ways. Often they're in ways we did not think that possibly the Spirit of the Lord would have used this method to get in touch with me. So we throw it aside. The Bible says of Elijah that as he was praying for rain, he saw a cloud as small as a man's thumb. And from something physical in the spirit, he deduced what was happening in the spirit from something physical that he could see. You understand? And it's interesting how a small cloud, the Bible says, run ahead, for I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And it's interesting how a small cloud like that could deduce abundance of rain in the spirit. Okay? The nudgings and the leadings of the Spirit of God. I remember one time I told a few people, I was about to jump on a border. I just got out of my house. And the reason why I was getting onto a border, because I was going downtown and I didn't want my car to get scratched. Yes. Now, those of you who have cars, you know. The rest are saying, really? Yeah? Anyway, so I jump. There's a border right in front of me. There are two borders. And I see one and I see the other. And I pick the nudgings of the spirit that this guy is a thief. So I jump on the thief's what? Border. Now, some of you would have said, thank you, Lord Jesus. Eh? Anyway, it's up to you. Eh? So I jump on the thief's border, and he takes me. And I tell him, I don't have change. Do you have change for 50,000? And he says he doesn't have. We have to stop at a petrol station somewhere. So then I hear his thoughts. Now, some of you, now imagine, I knew he was a thief. I got onto the border. Then I hear his thought. He says, I have to get this 50 and get this guy off this border. Okay? So I take out the 50 and I tell him, actually, before we reach the petrol station, here, have the 50K. In his heart, he's saying, yeah! Now I have to find a way to get this guy off the border. So he stops and starts pretending like there's something wrong with the border. So I laugh and I tell him, you know, it's just 50,000. It's just 50,000. You can take it. I knew from the very beginning that you're a thief. Then, because he hadn't got a distance from my home, then I went back home and got another border. Okay? He actually sped off. But I know he sped off with something in his head. Who have I had on my back? Eh? So the reason I brought that up is because the Spirit of the Lord brought promptings. And often the bad things that happen to us, they have precursors of warnings. We just neglect them. Okay? Praise the Lord. Amen. They're promptings of the Spirit. So take, for example, you're about to date someone. Okay? And sometimes the promptings are not as they were with the border guy, where I had to discern. Sometimes they're very direct. He has anger problems, okay? Doesn't take care of you the way he should. Ladies say, no, that's not my portion, eh? Okay? And so you see what I call warning signs. Red alert. Now, those, God can use someone to warn you. Even the person you're about to date. And I touch him. Now, it's important you understand that the difference comes if the person has been prophesied by someone genuine. Can I touch this? Eh? And someone genuine has said, Jim is your husband. Then Jim has an anger problem. Eh? Has an anger problem, he mistreats you, he does what? Now, what are warning signs? Often the Lord will give a season of time. Because prophetic words are seasonal. When he gives a season of time, he's giving Jim time to change. Jim's sign from God is the patience of the woman. Okay. Praise the Lord. Eh? And so people stand aside and say, how can she tolerate this? Look at her. For me, I would have left long ago. 1 year. You have no word. Huh? You have no word. So you're just reacting from the outside. But someone is basing upon a prophecy that was given or signs that were shown that surely this is my husband. And so she resigns to patience. All the time the Lord sees, you know, the Bible says, the Lord saw that Leah was unloved and opened up her womb. Okay? So God sees, he's almost there. The Bible says it's a threefold cord. In a relationship of two, there's a third person unseen. Constantly in the middle there watching. And the entire time a word is given, it has a season. All that time, she might go back to the prophet and say, surely is this my husband? He says, yes, but I still see it in the spirit. But doesn't God see what's going on? Because the mercies of God are never ending, even for Jim. Now, a season comes where she goes back to the prophet and he says, I see it has changed. It doesn't mean that the word that was given was wrong. Jim did not respond accordingly. I didn't want to go into relationships. Eh? There are promptings and leadings of the Spirit. Say you're about to get into business with someone. And every sign shows you on the outside he looks just fine. He says, yeah, even this is my proposal. What? You know? Everything looks perfect. But your heart is saying no. And you know without a shadow of a doubt that if you walked away from this, other people would say, man, do you have sense? But you need to realize that as spiritual people, we can't depend on just the physical. Are you with me? So there are leadings and there are promptings of the Spirit. Say, you're supposed to leave the country. And where you're supposed to go, there's nothing there. You don't have a home, you don't have friends, there's nothing to begin with. And the Lord says, like Abraham, go to a land that I will show you. Then you start. And I'm going to get to this, because this is not what I want to share. But I want you to understand that there are promptings of the Spirit, that signs, red alert, some warnings, some are comforting signs to show you that irrespective of what is around, you're in the right place. Okay? Praise the Lord. Now, which brings me back to Ephesians 3, verse 20, that says he's able to do exceeding abundantly above. It doesn't say exceedingly abundantly. It says exceeding abundantly above all you could ever ask or give me or think. Give me, thank you, Lord. Okay, leave it there. Another version says ask or imagine. Now, what most people don't know about spiritual things is that often when the Lord wants to teach you how to enter the Spirit, how to experience the things of the Spirit, how to decode mysteries, how to know, is this the right business venture? And how to know timings. Do I go in now? Do I not? How to know who to partner with? How to know when to get married? How to know without, let's say you don't have a prophet around, a genuine one. Let's say the people around you are practicing prophecy. So you're the practice point. I'm seeing in the Spirit now, move. Huh? You're like a man. Okay? Let's say the people are, now the Spirit of the Lord, he wants to get you to a place where you enter the Spirit, you're able to decode things, you're able to learn how things of the Spirit work, how he communicates to you. Most people do not know that the way the Spirit works is that he uses your imagination as a foundation. Knowledge, the level of your knowledge and the depth of your imagination determine the boundaries to which God operates and communicates to you. I'll say it again. The level of knowledge, especially spiritual knowledge, and the imagination that you carry determines the boundaries through which God is able to manifest himself to you. Now, you with me?
Yes.
Now, let me explain what that means. You see, blue, we all know how blue looks like, the color. We all know what purple looks like, the color. We know what yellow looks like, the color. When God is dealing with you, especially if you're a spiritual baby and you're learning the communications of the Spirit, he will never present something that is not already in your imagination or your knowledge. So when the Lord comes to you in the realm of the Spirit or in a dream or in a vision, the Lord will come, he will show you, he will not show you blue and call it red. Now, you need to read. You understand? In your dream or a vision or an experience that you have, when the Lord shows up, when he shows you blue, he will ask you, what do you see? Because it's already within the boundaries of your knowledge. Now, when you say you see blue, God then uses the blue that you know to teach you about spiritual things. Okay, let me use scripture. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12 to 13. Please, you need to pay close attention to this. Then said the Lord, he's speaking to Jeremiah, and to me, thou hast seen well, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Verse 13. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And as many of you know, the chief principle in the realm of the Spirit, to the foundation that you have to build upon, is what do you see? Okay? So God deals mainly with our spiritual eyes. Then he builds from there. What do you hear? What do you feel? You know? Now, he asked Jeremiah, saying, what seest thou? And Jeremiah said, I see a seething pot. Because in the natural, he knows what a pot is. You're with me? God will not show him something else. He shows him a pot and says, the face thereof is towards the north. Verse 14. And then the Lord said unto me, out of the north, now he's interpreting the pot. He's using what is physical to interpret the spirit. So he says, now, he says, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. He's using a pot to explain what is going to come. So God will use the color blue to teach you how to see the way God sees. Because God wasn't seeing a pot. And yet he tells Jeremiah, you have seen well. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because in the realms and the confines of knowledge that he has, he knows what a pot is. Now, here's my point to every single one of us here. Your knowledge, especially spiritual, and your imagination determine the boundaries. So, let me explain. It says he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ever ask or imagine. Or you say, think. Now, in the Bible, thoughts and imagination are interchanged. In fact, they're linked. Imagination is a function of thinking. Huh? Yeah. Imagination is a function of thinking. Please understand, like I said, God never operates outside the boundaries of what you imagine. So let me explain. Let me take it a little deeper. In the Bible says, actually, it says God is a spirit. Those who worship him in spirit and in truth. He's a spirit. God does not have a form. God does not have shape. God does not have color. Every experience you see in the Bible, God does not get tired. He doesn't have to sit. And yet when a man is taken in the heavenlies, he sees God sitting on a throne. If God is spirit, you know, most of us had this experience. We had this mindset that God is an old guy with a white beard. I also had that one. Eh? Okay? Old guy with a white beard sitting on a throne somewhere. And you have to understand that there are different dimensions in which God presents himself according to the knowledge or the confines of men. You cannot limit God just to sitting on a throne because he's not tired. The Bible says, if I had a time, I would show you in Ezekiel, it says that his throne moves. Ezekiel chapter 1 and chapter 2. It moves. Anyway, let me lie. So God is without form, is without color. Okay? That means, if you're learning to enter into spiritual things and to interpret things, if you think in your head that Angel Michael is fat, and you are brought up like that, huh? The initial entrance and introduction of Angel Michael will be as you think. Because you will not accept him. I don't know. Then gradually God starts breaking the boundaries of your thinking. Says, actually, this is not how Michael looks like. Praise the Lord. So he's able to do exceeding abundantly, above all you could ever ask or imagine or think. Eh? So the two are linked. Now, here's the interesting thing that I found. That there is what we call vain imaginations. The Bible refers to them. Vain imagination. A vain imagination is when a person imagines something, but it's outside the boundaries of God's call for their life. So I'm a teacher. If I start envisioning being a prophet, I'm wasting time. It's a vain. I can envision prophesying. That's different. Making myself a prophet is a vain imagination. You're wasting time. And this is why understanding the plans and the purposes of God for your life are extremely crucial. I need to go very fast so we can get where we're going. So thoughts are linked to our imaginations. Imaginations, like I said, are functions of our thinking. Now, everyone here, there are what I would call degrees of thinking, degree of thoughts. But before I go to that, you must understand that there are realms. I call them realms of thought. The thoughts that you think can either come from you, from God, or from the enemy. Three realms of thinking. Right now, there are different kinds of thinking going on. When someone's thinking food, even the enemy won't waste time. That's just you, eh? Okay? There are different realms of thinking. There are realms of thinking that come from you, that come from the enemy, and that come directly from God. Then there are degrees of thinking. Now, you need to understand that your thoughts are made up of something. Every time you think, your thought has an intellect, it has a picture, and it has an emotion. Every time you think, am I being too complicated? No. Every single time you think, you get a business idea, it has intellect, meaning there's a logical aspect to it, it has a picture attached to it, and it has an emotion attached to it. on the face of this earth, even, let me start with this room. There are varying degrees of those three. There are some people who are more intellectual in their thoughts. There are those who are more imagery in their thoughts. And there are those who are more emotional within their thoughts. So let me use something. If I say cat, and I say black cat, somewhere in here, you've seen an image. If you've seen an image, then that means your imagination is strong to an extent. If you've seen words, black cat, if you've seen the words black cat, you're extremely logical and we need to help you a little, eh? There are some people who have seen absolutely nothing, they just felt. Oh, that's why I use black cat, because some, the cat pulls them, they have good emotions, others just say, man, black cat. Mm. So you know now where you fall, eh? Praise the Lord. Okay? So, your thoughts have varying degrees of intensity. So, I said imagination is a function of thoughts. Now, there's somewhere I'm going with this. The law that governs the way you think is the same law that governs your dreams, that governs visions. If your thoughts come either from the enemy, or from you, or from God, so do your dreams. So do your visions. You getting what I'm saying? The law that governs the way you think also governs dreams and visions. Praise the Lord. I'm actually going to share about dreams, but I haven't yet got there. Eh? Huh? Praise the Lord. It's the same law that governs. Now, imagination or thinking, dreams and visions are built upon the foundation that we call spiritual sight. All three are a way of seeing. Now, let me go to the scripture that you all know. Job chapter 33, verse 14 to 15. Job 33, verse 14, 15. Okay. For God speaketh once, yea twice, yea. Huh? Yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. Okay, verse 15. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed. Now, this is a very foundational scripture that has to do with dreams. But what I need you to understand is he says that God speaks once, twice, but men do not perceive it. Then he says in a dream. The word dream there, the connotation, there are two types. There is the dream that you have when you go to sleep. Then there's a dream that is born out of desire. God not only speaks in the dream at night, but in the desire. But men do not perceive it. Now, what is important to understand that it's actually possible for the enemy to plant a desire in your head. Very, very possible. But scripture has an insulator to it. The Bible says in Psalms 37 and verse 4, it says, delight in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of your heart. So when you delight, he plants it there. So, it's not just because you talk big and you're seeing yourself as a billionaire. It's God speaking. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. At one point, you are not thinking marriage. Then all of a sudden, you've entered a season, and you've just been praying. Me, I want to pray. Then you enter it. God speaking. All of a sudden, you are looking for a job. You're looking for a job. It shifts now. You say, now, you know what? I need to start something of my own.
And then he said, but you see, you've been working for years. Are you sure this is God? Have you been delighting in the Lord? He gives you then the desire. The thing about desires of the heart that are brought by God is that they are always backed up by other signs. He says, a thing is established in the presence of two or more witnesses. So the first witness is your desire. Then he begins. Someone comes and says, Egwe, you've worked for too long. Do you perceive? Now please understand that witnesses always first come from within before they come from without. Okay? Praise the living God. Now, so God speaks once, twice, in a dream, in a vision of the night, but men do not perceive it. That's what he says. That is not your portion. That you will learn to perceive the Lord when he speaks in those two dimensions. The dream within your heart that's being nourished even at this moment. That even though you don't have money in your hands, that in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, God can change the situation. That business idea that has started but seems to have no way, no door that is opening. You're in the year of great doors. Praise the living God. Now, I want to concentrate not on the desires that are born within you, but on the dreams of the night. Just a little, because there are complexities in the spirit, and I need to set ABCs. Okay? So today we shall do ABC. Praise the Lord. Now, I realized over time, and it's actually the Lord who taught me this, that there are people who are naturally graced to dream. There are people who are graced to see visions. There are people who are graced to see in the spirit. They are graced with it. They're actually born with it. Okay? The Bible refers to those who have the gift of dreaming as dreamers of dreams. And equates them in Deuteronomy 13:1 as prophets. Now, just because you dream a lot does not mean you're a dreamer of dreams. I already seen Champ Champ saying, Gayans, and the prophet, you got. Nabi. Just because you dream a lot does not mean. There are certain signs to show when someone falls within that category. One of those signs, for the sake of time, one of those signs is that when you dream, you always recall every detail. Now, there are people who dream a lot but forget a lot. Eh? One of the signs is the recollection. It's almost supernatural. I'm telling you, the people I sit with, my God, they come with books of dreams. Every single detail. And then the guy coughed and touched his pocket. And then you're like, ah, what kind of memory is this? So that's one action. In that they remember details. Another aspect, I'll save that. Because the Lord is telling me it's not yet time for that. But when a person is a dreamer of dreams, the highest place a person can reach in that realm is the ability to interpret the dream. So if you're a dreamer and you can interpret dreams, you have a rank in that. Okay? Praise the Lord. Now, I began to realize that the people who are graced through dreams, visions, and seeing in the spirit, if I might say, let me say this, that there are two kinds of people who categorically have an ease of spiritual sight. Two kinds. One are people with an innocent mind, and two are people with a powerful mind. Innocent minds are attributed mainly to children. You have, some of you might not know, but your kids see in the spirit. And the reason is because logic has not yet been instituted in their minds. So innocent minds see easily in the spirit. As a parent, it is your job to nurture that innocent mind. So that by the time your child is about 10 years old, they see angels as part of their life. Okay? Now, That's an innocent mind that is attributed to a child. But you, when you grow up, to cater and bring yourself back to that state, the Bible says renew your mind. To renew your mind, you need to have scripture within you, whether you want it or not, either listening to the word or reading it. Every time you do so, you nourish your mind. It enters that place of innocence. It's as if it has never done anything before. Never thought whatever it is that you guys think. Then, as you do that continuously, it remains in a certain state and way of thinking. And constantly a person will see in the spirit. Are you with me? That's an innocent mind. A powerful mind is a mind where the person, first of all, was graced with the ability to see, to feel, you know, graced with it in their minds. Powerful minds mean people easily pick up things that others are not picking. A powerful mind, especially a person who's a dreamer, when you go to sleep at night, you're asleep, but you can still feel the entire presence of the room. You can tell your mother is doing this, but you're asleep. Actually, you're in deep sleep. That's a powerful mind. There are very, very few people like that. Once in a while, we tap into it, but there are very few people who fall in that category. Very few. Now, the best thing about it is that you can train yourself to become a powerful dreamer. Do you know the Bible? The Bible says, actually, before I go to the Bible, let me use your language. Professor X, X-Men, is a sign of a powerful mind. Jean Grey, who you guys watch that film? Emma, Dark Phoenix. Jean Grey has the most powerful mind. The ability for a person, at first it starts by picking up things, then it goes to a place where a person can move things with their mind. Yeah? Those are powerful minds. But you can train yourself to get there, to be sensitive of things of the spirit. You can train yourself to get there. You just go around, that guy comes and says, I love you. And you're like, my powerful mind is feeling something else. Anyway, I'm joking. So there are people with powerful minds. Now, I began to realize that there are quantities and qualities of dreams. There's such a thing as a quality dream. Quality. Now you guys who are dozing, when you doze, you tell us, enjoy the dream as we. But you see, there's such a thing as quality dreams. Quality dreams and the quantity of dreams is emphasized by atmospheres. It's actually the reason why, you know, I asked myself when I was reading the Bible, why didn't Jacob dream in his home? He had to leave the house, get into a desert, and have a dream of such high quality. Because at his home, there was antagonism, there was fighting, there was what, I've stolen, I've what. But when he left that atmosphere and found one, the quality of the dream. It's the reason why some people have to leave houses to go and pray. And some people, the country, because you're pissed off everyone. And so every time you try to pray, you're thinking about this chap. You think about this one. He even shows up in your mind. What have you done to me? And so you just have to leave the entire atmosphere, if you're able to. May you be able to in Jesus. Amen. Just to be able to go to the Burj Khalifa and just say, I'm just here to pray. Others are on holiday for you praying. So there's a certain dimension. Now, the depth of which that dreams are determined by atmosphere, that determine the quality. The reason why most people end up forgetting things like dreams is, number one, there are people who don't have powerful minds. So every time they dream, they just forget. Every time they dream, they forget. Once in a while, we begin to remember. Now, this is whether you're born again or not. Even in the other world, there are people who naturally tap into dreams. Okay? because the gift is upon them, irrespective. Now, you find that people forget dreams simply because of things like, and they're simple things, you've had them. Things like, you have too much on your mind. And you know, yesterday you thought this chick was telling me this hair was what, this business is what, you go to sleep. You have a dream, you forget it. It's different from a person having one single thing on their mind, whether it's good or bad, and then it ends up in their dream. That's different. You can even remember it when you wake up. But a person who has just too much, even God says, you know what? Let me let you get over yourself. Yeah. So people forget. Now, the ancients, people of the past, believed that we don't have dreams. We go to them. Oh, Lord. In other words, a dream is not something that happens to you. You go there. Whether they are spiritual or not, it's another realm. It's an alternate realm. Something that has happened. You could go there and be in the past, be in the present, be in the future. Some of you, I was going to use an example, but no. Let me leave it. So you go past, present, future. I found that there are people who are so sensitive, who have nurtured their spirit man, so much so, that when an activity happens in the spirit realm, it affects what is physical. Daniel 8:27, I believe that's a scripture. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterwards, I rose up. Now, he's just had a dream. And the Bible says he fainted and he felt sick. Something in the spirit is affecting his physical body. That's the intensity, his sensitivity to that. But also, I found that there's a corporate way. There are events in the spirit that carry energy. So much energy that the boundaries and the magnitude of their impact on earth begins to spread amongst people who are sensitive. So, before 9/11, many people had dreams about an attack all over the world. So someone saw a skyscraper falling. Someone saw planes but didn't see what they're crashing into. Someone saw people running. It's like it's a distributed message. I call that corporate dreaming. Where an event in the spirit is so vital, it releases energy and men begin to pick up on it. Some other people, of course, had no clue what was going on. So they just say, hey, what? You saw a dream? Hey. Wait for the physical. That is not your portion. You will grow. And the way, when you begin to realize that, you will know that the time when you're the most vulnerable is when you're asleep. When you're in your bed, anyone can enter. The enemy can send someone to attack you physically or can attack you in the spirit, spiritually. Which takes me back to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 25. Matthew 13 verse 25. Jesus is speaking of a parable. I brought it here sometime and he said, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares amongst the wheat and went his way. This scripture is a mystery that shows that something happens while men actually sleep and things are sowed. As men sleep, things are sold. Psalms 91, I believe it's verse 5. Psalms 91, verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night. Now, many people read this scripture, but they don't know it's categorized. It's explaining that the enemy doesn't just attack anytime. There's an attack that he calls the terror by night. There's that he calls the arrow that flies by day. Is that he calls the destruction. Go on to the next verse, verse 6. He talks about the pestilence that walks in darkness and the destruction at noonday. All those are specific times that the enemy attacks and all different ways. Now, the terror that happens by night can be both physical or in the spirit. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
There are degrees of intensity of the dreams that you have. That you can have a dream within a dream. Huh? Yeah. You can have a dream within a dream. You can have a vision within a dream. Do you know that you can have a dream and be prophesying to someone, but you're in the spirit, but seeing in the spirit? Okay? So you can have a dream within a dream. That's a level. You can have a vision within a dream. That's a level. You can have an experience within a dream. Now let me explain what that is. One time when I was in S3, I remember I had a dream one night, and we used to sleep in these cubicles, and I was sleeping on the upper bunk bed. I had a dream when something was chasing me, as many of us have had. Now, this thing was chasing me with claws, caught me, and scratched my face. When I woke up the next morning, everyone was asking me, why do I have scratches on my face? That's what you call an experience in a dream. It has transferred itself into the physical. It wasn't just you sleeping. Lord. It doesn't always have to be bad. You can eat something in a dream and wake up. Wake up tasting something. I say, what is this? Huh? It doesn't always have. Are you guys with me? Okay? So you have an experience in a dream. And you see, all those are degrees in which that are dependent on the level of sensitivity that you've opened your spirit man up to. Especially if initially you did not have what I call a powerful mind. Praise the Lord. Amen. The end of it all, when a person has nurtured the way they see, what will happen is that ultimately, both they'll be able to see both the physical world and the spiritual world at the same time. And at will. Now, let me explain. When a person here is gifted, say, in seeing in the spirit, you have visions. Initially, the way you start is you have visions, but you have no control over them. So they just come. And you're like, man, I had a vision. I've just had a vision. Or when you're a dreamer, you wait for night time to go to sleep at night so that you can have a dream. You're gifted, but the gift is controlling you. You with me?
Yeah.
When you graduate, you can control the gift. Especially, there's a man I know, a man of God, you know, Prophet Alpha. He's a dreaming prophet for another day. You'll be talking to him, he says, Prophet, I'm not understanding. He says, give me 1 minute. And he goes, anyway. Anyway, he prophesies, but primarily most of his international and national prophecies he gets through dreams. Okay? He's a dreaming prophet. He's literally like Daniel. Okay? That's the spirit that's upon such a person. Now, so, when a person has learned to control the gift, at any time they can pick up. They even know how to decide what they should dream. And there's such a thing. As many of you know, you can decide. You look at someone and say, tonight I'm going to sleep. I want to know more about this one. You're not praying to Lord, give me a dream so that I can know whether this is. You go, you're like, no. It's okay. Meet me tomorrow morning. There's a way to do that. There's actually a way to do it. So at first the gift controls you. Then you control the gift. Then you become the gift. You and the gift are one. When that happens, anyone around you, by osmosis just gets part of your presence. So some people who are prophetic, people around them just begin to see. They pick it up. Especially when someone is saturated in a gift. That person, first of all, it first becomes involuntary. People are just around you. They start to see visions. Okay, let me use other things. The prophetic gift, things like healing. The person hasn't come to you and told you this is how you heal. But just because you're around them, you feel you can go and heal. You understand? That's an osmosis. The person is more than just having a gift. He's becoming one with it. And then the highest place a person says, but you know, let me give you my gift. And says, you can't see in the spirit. You can't. It's what Elijah did. Lays hands and makes you see. Now, I know many men and women of God who come before ministries and fellowships and say, now, I'm going to make you see. His hands, then you go back, you're just seeing the cattle that's passing. And you even ask, but is this spirit? Okay, for some of them, sometimes you're the issue. But a number of times, someone is trying to operate in a realm they haven't yet reached. So they're not yet one with the gift. They don't have the authority to pass it on. They can operate in it, but don't have that authority. Praise the Lord. Am I speaking Japanese?
No.
2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. It says, casting down, give me the NKJV. Start from verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Next verse. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now what this scripture is actually saying, most people don't know, go back to verse 4, is that it's saying that there are three categories of things that happen in your mind. One, there are strongholds, which always don't always have to be demonic. A stronghold can be a castle where a person has built a wall of self-preservation. For me, I don't go to those prophetic things. Huh? I'm just giving an example. I can't say I'm a Christian in my office. They'll fire me. My boss is a Muslim. It's a stronghold. It's a type. It's self-preservation. God says, bring it down. Then he says, casting down arguments. Arguments are in the realm of logic. So someone is saying, you want to tell me that you got the job without applying, without the qualifications, and they just called you and put you in a position you don't qualify for? Yes, no. There must be an explanation. God says, bring that down. Arguments. And someone says, now surely. You're sowing it to men of God, Why don't you put aside your money? You go and take it. One day I'll teach you the truth. That every time money is transferred, there's a transaction. Every single time. Not just, now, I need to tell you, even a non-believer, listen, that this is, I'm just digressing a bit to bring across a point. That every time money is transferred, there's a transaction. Not just when you're buying, like in the physical stuff, you can buy a car, you can buy a toy. There's always a transaction. In the spirit, there's also a transaction. You can give money. You can receive money, and a transaction will take place. So let me explain. The Bible says of Elijah, Elisha, heals Naaman, and scripture says Gehazi runs after Naaman to get the money. He gets it, and you know the story. The Bible says, didn't my spirit not go with you? Now, what Gehazi does not know is that the moment he gets the money, in the spirit there's a transaction, he gets leprosy. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. And so, Elisha comes to give him what had already happened. He says, now you shall have leprosy, which Naaman had. Now, that is for someone dependent on their heart because it depends on hows and whys. And we shall teach it someday. Because you see, there are transactions. Even when you give, let me mess you up. Even when you give, you see, you can give to the poor, but the magnitude of blessing is nothing compared to an anointed man. And you see, we'll teach it. But it's the truth. They say, why don't you help the poor? Indeed, you can help the poor. For you have helped. How far have you reached? I'm not saying don't help the poor. But there are transactions in the spirit. That's why who you give your money to is extremely important. Oh. Okay. So, it says pulling down strongholds. Then it says pulling down arguments, then it says every high thing. Every high thing is anything in your mind that has been made an idol. For some people, it's money. Something is an idol in your life when it determines how you respond to things. When you don't have it, it determines your mood. When you have it, determines your mood. Eh? You understand? It has a certain extent of influence over you. God says, bring it down. Bring it down. We need to detach ourselves from certain things, attach ourselves to God, so that if someone steals, takes 50K from 50K, some people would have, even now get my 50. Even now get my 50. In a space of 30 minutes, I had four times more than that amount. And I didn't ask. I always feel like when you get something right, the Lord just rewards you to say, what your reaction? You had one of two options. To walk away or to train yourself spiritually. And I got my reward. Praise the Lord. Genesis. I'm about to finish. We shall touch on the depths of dreams later, some other time. But Genesis, the Bible talks about a man, Genesis chapter 2, I believe, verse 21. God creates Adam. He creates Adam in his image and his likeness. Yes? The Bible says in Psalms 121 that the protector of Israel never sleeps nor slumber. You with me? That means when Adam was created in the image of God, he could not sleep. I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to show it to you. That's why if you look through scripture, the Bible says that God caused the deep sleep. He could have waited for the guy for night to come. Huh? He caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam. Because he was created in an image and likeness. Sleep and slumber are not his portion. Oh, Lord. Now, so spirits don't sleep. God doesn't sleep. The Bible says the devil goes to and fro, roaming. Huh? By the way, you know that the devil is a liar. Eh? And the book of Job says that when he comes before God, the sons of God appear before God, and the devil is amongst them. How he got there, we shall get there some other time. So, I'm believing he was walking. Okay, what's up? Yeah. So he shows up in the presence of God. Then the Bible says that God turns, looks at the devil, and says, where have you been? And he says, I've been going to and fro. He's a liar. He's actually come from Job. Okay. And God says, have you considered my... Okay, we shall touch it some other day. He's a liar. Anyway, so Adam is created in the image, is incapable of sleep. Incapable. That's why the Bible says Genesis 2:21, God caused him to fall into a deep sleep. He falls into a deep sleep. Listen to this mystery as I wind up. He falls into a deep sleep. Then scripture says God opens up his rib, forms woman. Alright? I believe while Adam was asleep, he was awake in his dream. Because when he wakes up, God doesn't tell him she's from you. He says, bone of my bone, how did he know that? Let me ask you, how did he know that? He says, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. God doesn't say, the Bible says God takes her, puts her at his side. Then he says, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And I'm going to show you through scripture, Song of Songs, chapter 5, verse 2. Song of Songs, 5, verse 2. I sleep, but my heart is it is the voice of my beloved. He knocks saying, open for me, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect. Okay. It was always the intention of God that when men sleep, they are awake at night. There's an experience that I read in a particular book that shocked me. Father, remind me clearly. It was it delivered from? I don't remember. But there's a guy whom, upon whom they had these satanic guys were trying to send demons. They're trying to distort his life. And this is now a satanist become born again, explaining his experience as he was trying to attack a Christian. And he said, they gave me this assignment to attack the chap, but every night I would come, the man was praying. Huh? I come, I was like, when does he would pray until morning. Says, so when does this guy sleep? He would like say, so he couldn't attack because as long as the guy was praying, angels would be.
So he would stay there waiting to see when this guy is going to sleep so that the angels leave. Then later, he realized that the spirit of a man, he had had such a prayerful life that even when he slept, he was awake. Oh, Lord. Now, are you getting what I'm saying? No demon, no nothing can come your way. That is why I'm telling you, you need to understand that the connection to God is extremely important. Anytime you take 2 minutes, 5 minutes off to pray, there's something happening to your spirit, man. Hey, praise the Lord. So, the things that the Lord brings us, one of the ways, and I've really touched things as quickly as I could, but one of the ways is through dreams and visions, and I've tried to attach them together. I haven't touched visions so much. But you will begin to realize. So sometimes when I walk into this room, I'll often know how to pick out someone or who to pick out. Because when I walk in, I pay attention to the atmosphere. Then I know when something has changed over someone. Sometimes you can see an angel on someone. Sometimes you see a glory on someone. And it's the Lord saying, pick this one. Then there are people upon which you see nothing, but somehow they've engaged it, so you pick them. Okay. Leave it another day. So, I won't tell you how that happens, because otherwise all of you are going to what? Praise the Lord. Eh? But I want you to realize that there is a realm in the spirit, it's called the language of dreams. And if you knew the season that we're in, and the fact the Bible says in the last days, what does it say? It says, your sons and daughters shall see visions. And it says, old men shall dream dreams. That has nothing to do with age, physically. That has nothing to do with physical age. It's a stature in the spirit. And there's a reason why someone whose stature is young, considered young, sees visions. But someone who has rank in the spirit, who's old, dreams dreams. It's not just dreaming, because everyone dreams. But dreams, dreams. It's a rank in the spirit. May that be your portion in Jesus' name. There are men and women of God I have found who have such stature in the spirit realm that they can disseminate their spirit essence so you dream them. There are some people no one dreams about. Eh? Now, I speak in the name of Jesus. That the answer that you need, may it come in your dream.
Amen.
Whether it's in business, whether it's in your call, do you know that you can be taught in a dream? And gifts can be given to you in a dream. There was a time I had an experience, very interesting one. I was taken to a world that I now know is a different realm. And I sat with an angel who told me his name. I've said this before. And for hours, he taught me about healing. For hours, I will never forget. For hours, I felt like, I even asked, when am I going home? Eh? Now, I remember the dream clearly. And so, when I woke up, I remembered parts of it, but the rest, I couldn't. And remember Job 33, 14 to 15, it says, God seals instructions. I began to realize that there are parts of dreams and things that he brings our way that if you try to interpret outside of season, they are sealed. And sometimes your forgetting is a sealing. Now is not the time. Sometimes. That's why, and I've said it before, you will see a man of God who can interpret a dream say, this part of the dream is for now. This one is not for now. Because it's sealed. Any attempt to try to interpret it is just off. Even if you're a dream interpreter. Huh? Praise the Lord. May God give you the grace, because I told us all of us can be trained to go in. That is actually the easiest. Just take time. Get a scripture. Get a scripture. Say, I am Elijah that stands in the presence of God. Get a scripture like that. Read it. Have it in your heart. Build your imagination. See Elijah. Okay?
What you're doing is creating a certain boundary for God to come for you, give you an experience like Elijah. Now, that's how you use scripture to build your imagination. Don't just read the Bible and say, now, and Jesus walked the earth, and what? Then you close and you say, oh, what does this mean? I never rush a study. Never. I can spend 3-4 weeks to a month on one verse. And how many people here have ever seen me with a Bible? But I'm here quoting for you scriptures. My Bible is in my phone, but have you seen me picking it and say, I need to check? Even my special one will tell you. There's a time she asked me, but you know, I don't see you turning your Bible. Often I'll get a scripture on my phone and then meditate. Meditation is the secret to opening up your mind and making it powerful. You meditate upon scripture. Take a verse. One of the ways in which I entered the prophetic, I got a scripture. I got one scripture, the one of Nathaniel, where Jesus says, from today onwards, you will see angels ascending and descending. Oh, I sat on that scripture, Lord. I want to see these angels ascending and descending. On one experience, I tell you, I lie not. I had an angelic being appear in my room. Should I share this? And it was nothing that I had been told a lot of things. But what I saw was different from what I had been told. Eh? So I had to ask him, are you really an angel? Eh? Anyways, I had an experience. And I began to realize that my spiritual eyes opened because I ceased to be lazy. I ceased to be lazy. When there is a change in your stature spiritually, men and women of God who have stature will know that it has changed. And so will the enemy. So will the enemy. There are certain things as you walk with God you never have to pray for. Never had to pray for. Let me tell you, you don't have to deceive us. There are people on the outside who look steady, walk smart, talk fantastic. Huh? Some people are very mugged. You're not like me. Huh? You have heavy bodies. Huh? Ladies, say amen. Huh? Some guys have heavy bodies. You have a heavy guy. Huh? Huh? Now, on the outside, but inside, weak. In the spirit, very weak. You can't lie to us. And your circumstances, you can't lie to them. They show up and you begin to shake. Something like rent, there's a level where it has to cease to shake you. Rent. You graduate. Praise the Lord. Then you stop thinking, I need a house of this amount. You start going to ownership. So the way you think determines the circumstances that come around you. I can tell your depth in the spirit by the situation you're going through. And if I ask you at the beginning of the year and the end of the year, it's still the same stuff. Eh? I know. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. May God open your eyes. Most importantly, to see your call and the next step for your path. Okay, just pray in tongues. Who was born 14th July? You're born 14th July? You're born 14th July? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Bring a microphone. The dream that you had, say it out loud.
I had a dream when Prophet Elvis was prophesying to a young lad at Zoe, but at the same time, I was here, and the rabbi prophesied to the same guy, saying the same things that Prophet Elvis was saying. So I was in two dreams, okay, two fellowships at the same time, here and Zoe. So that the dream ends and Daddy, Prophet Elvis, comes to me and says, listen to him, meaning the rabbi, that which he has, I have in me is in him.
Praise the Lord. Eh? Now, it's actually the Lord who brought up here. Eh? I did not know her birthday was 14th July. Eh? So that means that message is for this season. It's for this season. That which my father has, I have. Yeah? And so do you. Praise the Lord. Eh? That wasn't a message to you. Was to us. Okay? Doesn't need interpretation, does it? Very direct.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with a distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.